So in Sefer Alechot, and we're learning a chapter on using imagery in order to serve for the Baruch Hu and deepen our emunah. We learned last time the quote from the Kuzari, who said that we're always imagining. That's our nature, we're always imagining. But you have a choice how to channel your imagination. And if you control your imagination and channel it towards matters that will bring you close to Hashem, then your way of thinking will be formed on holy concepts. And then when you wish to tap in to a spiritual strength to overcome the Yetzer Hara, for example, you ought to have a desire to feel close to Hashem. You'll have an imagery which represents that concept, that strength, which you can then tap into to feel that closer to Hashem. And he gave examples of Mamon Har Sinai and the Kedas Yitzchak, and also the building of the Mishkan, which we spoke about, Vayehinom Hashem Elokein Olenu, like the idea of the drawing down of the Shechina of Hashem, and the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a very great matter, meaning it's a big avodah, it's all we have to be investing in, to think about how Yetzir Mitzrayim looked, how Kriyas Yam Suf looked. There's an amazing author, the Pietzetzner Rebbe, who, as well as his more famous book of Chovos Talmidim and Eish Kodesh, he also has a work called Savos Zirus, which is for Avrechim, Hachshart Avrechim. Both books are printed in one section. And in there, he uses this koach very well. And he has like a few pages where he's describing what Yetziat Mitzrayim was like from the perspective of a boy, a young boy who was in. And he says what he was feeling, or what he said to his mother, what his mother said back to him, and she gave him a whole speech of emunah to strengthen him, and how he sees his friend, and how the friend used to play together, and how he sees his friend being squashed into the cement of the wall, and it's very descriptive. And as you're reading, you lose yourself. You know when you're reading a novel, and you lose sense of where you are and who you are, and like someone calls in, you kind of shake out of the reality of the earth. When you're reading this book, Hachshart Avrechem and Tzav Vezeros of the Brit Etzner Rebbe, you're in Yetziat Mitzrayim there, as he's describing in great detail. If he wasn't a Rebbe, he could have been a novelist. And he uses the koach of the novel that he's writing in order to channel you in and reconnect it. And then he brings in words of emunah, words of faith through his writing. So it's a great work that especially you should channel for the mitzvah of Sifo Yetziat Mitzrayim. You should channel how it looked in all the fine details, in all the midrashim. And Shira Tayyam. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was saying the Shira, and that hundreds of thousands of Jews were responding to him, and he was saying one line, and they were repeating the line. And that is a mitzvah to Aseh Doraita, according to the Ramban, in Sefer HaMitzvah, Mitzvah Bet. You're not allowed to forget Yetziat Mitzrayim, you're not allowed to remove it from your mind. Rather, your eye is the words of the Ramban. Sefer HaMitzvah, Mitzvah Bet. Your eyes and your heart should be there all of your days. Like I spoke about last time we learned this. It doesn't mean that you're not talking to anyone else or thinking anything else. Right? Obviously, you're involved in conversation with other people. And it also doesn't mean like once a day remember it. Rather, it means the default way that you relate to everything and everyone should always be in context of there is a Hashem, there is a purpose, there is a Torah, and He chose us. So you may not be that you're thinking at this very moment, there was Yetziat Mitzrayim and how did it look, but the whole way that you behave and the way that you relate to people is with the knowledge that there was a Yetziat Mitzrayim. With that concept, with that mindset, that you know that happened, and therefore the way that you're acting, like I think I gave the example last time, that if you're, let's say in an interview, then although you're talking about different things in the interview, but all the time you're in the interview, you're very much aware of the fact that there's an interview taking place. Right? And you're worried, be careful to say this, be careful to say that, make sure you emphasize this. Like you're talking in an interview, but at the same time you're talking with a deep awareness constantly of, I'm talking in the context of being in an interview. That's what you have in mind. So too a Jew, you talk about lots of things to lots of people, but you're always aware and conscious of the fact that there's a God, there was a Yetziat Mitzrayim, we're the Jewish people, we have a purpose, Hashem chose us for a mission to serve Him. So all the message that you take out of Yetziat Mitzrayim is constantly in your awareness, even if you're not thinking, just like an interview, you're not thinking, I'm in an interview. You just talk freely. But the background of your mindset, the context is that you're in an interview. So a Jew is constantly in the mind. And that's the mitzvah, according to the Ramban, of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Your eyes and heart should be there all your days. And that's what it says in the Pasuk, Hishomer Elocha ושמור נפשך מאוד, הן תשכח את הדברים אשר ראו עיניך. To be very careful, guard yourself, that you don't forget all that you saw with your own eyes. ופן יסור מבבך כל ימי חייך, ולסט you put away from your heart all of your lives, meaning the default is that once it comes to the image of something, that's how you think. But what if you want to do it up there? And you can't do, right? If you're in an interview and you're thinking I'm in an interview, you're not going to like tell a silly story of how you messed up on some big mistake. Yeah? Because you're aware of the fact that you're in an interview. So how would you do that? The only way you do that is if you forget you're in an interview. You forget it, or you put it out of your mind. Say an amazing thing. I once heard a talk from someone who wanted to get, he was in an interview and he wanted to get a job. This is the cleverest thing he did. So he came for the interview, and as the interview was starting, they said, okay, you ready for the interview? So he said, like in a very kind of jovial, natural manner, he said, just before we start, so I just wanted to ask you, what are you actually looking for in a person here in the interview? He goes, okay, well, and he started telling him, like, we want this. So then he said, okay, that's just interesting, okay, I'm ready to start now. Okay, ready to start. They took out their questions, and they started asking him question after question, and he had in mind all the points they just said of what they're looking for, and obviously he didn't lie, but where they were relevant, then he emphasized those points, and they said, oh, you're exactly what we're looking for. It was amazing. Now, it was brilliant what he did, but what did he do? What did he do? He said, we're not in the interview now. Before we start. That's what he said. So before we start, now we're not in the interview now, so can I just ask you as a friend? And he asked them as a friend, and he got all the information that he wanted. And then he said, okay, I'm ready to start the interview now. And they said, okay, and then they went into interview mode, you know? How do we ever do an Aveira? So we think, I'm not in Hashem's world now, right? Before I enter Avodas Hashem, that's what the Yetzirah said. Before you enter Avodas Hashem, it's like, you know, if you go into a shul, then you wouldn't speak Lashon Hara, because you're in a base medrash, right? But before you step into the shul, I just want to tell you some Lashon Hara, and you go in. Because it's clear to you in the shul, you won't speak it, so you get it in before. So the Yetzirah does the same thing. He says, before you start your Avodas Hashem, before you start it, just say this quickly. Say that, good, you said it. Okay, now you can start your Avodas Hashem. That doesn't make any sense, because you're always serving Hashem. But the Yetzirah has this trick where he says, just don't think that you're focused on Avodas Hashem right now. He kind of takes you out of the world. A Ruach Shtus comes over you for a minute, and you say, I'm on a different planet now, and this planet I can say Lashon Hara. And then you kind of go back to Kanaya Savasha. What just happened? I don't know. I wasn't serving Hashem. Then now I'm starting to serve Hashem. I keep on done. Start now. What happened yesterday? I was a different world. I was like out of the brackets of the real world. What the Ramban is saying, perhaps, or what we're taking into, is that the mitzvah of remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim, how perfect is this? Look at us. Within 30 days. So the mitzvah of remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's not a pasuk at the right time. Remember that there was Yetziat Mitzrayim. Rather, it's a mindset that you enter, that your whole life is a life of Avodat Hashem. Hashem took us out of Egypt to be Avodat Hashem. That from now on, you're always on an interview. Your whole life. Your whole life is part of Avodat Hashem. There's no before the interview starts. Can I just get in? No, you're always in the context. So again, you don't have to be saying, I'm in an interview. You don't have to even say the psukim bichla. But you have to be living the context of being an Avodat Hashem who was taken out of Egypt to do Avodat Hashem. And that you're not allowed to remove from your mind. Because you have to put it out of your mind to do an Aveira. You're not allowed to put it out of your mind. Of course you put it out of your mind the whole time. The whole time when I'm talking to a friend about some other topic, I'm not thinking of Yetziat Mitzrayim. It's out of my mind. So I'm doing an Aveira. Am I transgressing an Isur Lav according to the Ramban of Hishamer Lecha Pein Tishkach Et Devarim? I'm not thinking about it? No. Because I'm still in the mindset that I'm a Jew and I fulfill mitzvahs. So it's not an Aveira. When would it be an Aveira? Where I pretend that I'm not part of Hashem's world. And Hashem, I am not obligated to Hashem in any way. Asher amalta lefnei Hashem v'chor. Yita'er na'am ma'amin la'atom. So he does us a little tova now and he gets us into a little. So let's imagine for a minute. Imagine for a moment that you yourself are standing at the foot of Mount Sinai. And there you are together with 600,000 Jews. And as you look up, you suddenly see there's a great fire burning on top of the mountain, and it's going all the way up as far as you can see to the heaven, this fire. And you're thinking to yourself, Moshe, how are you up there? There's a fire. Aren't you being burned up there? You start thinking to yourself, maybe Moshe Rabbeinu is something miraculous. Our leader Moshe. And you suddenly hear booming out of the heavens a sound which doesn't really make exact sense to you, but you deeply understand that it's saying,
Anochi Hashem Elokecha. At the same time you hear that, you also hear somehow Lo Yelacha, and you recognize that the Kodesh Baruch was speaking. And with a force, you feel your whole body being thrown back from where you were standing. You almost feel like you fainted from the great awe of standing before Hashem. You've never experienced anything like this before. You've been scared before of the Egyptian taskmasters throughout your life. But never before have you had such a respect and an awe of someone who you know cares for you and wants your welfare and is giving you guidance and direction, which you realize now you've entered a new level. You've been received a neshama. Like on Shabbos, the neshama Yisera comes in. You realize now there's a Jew. Atah Bachar Banu, Hashem has chosen us. And you have a sense of awe. And you need a Jew, Tal, Jew, to come upon you, to waken you up and bring you back to stand again. You're a bit nervous to come and stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu again, but you feel being drawn in to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. And you come back, you're brought back, and you feel like there are angels accompanying you, bringing you back to stand before Mount Sinai, to not miss out. You're awestruck by the greatness of the Ma'amad. And as you look around, you see that it's not you alone. All of Klal Yisrael together are hearing the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an individual experience, as well as a national experience. And as you ask afterwards, what do you hear? You realize that everyone heard it slightly in their own way. Everyone heard the same words, but everyone interpreted it according to the root neshama in a slightly different way, that everyone was almost receiving their own portion in Torah. You heard the word of Hashem speaking to you, and you're still alive. The Ruach Kadisha Ba Umitkayim. The Ruach HaKodesh came over us, and we're continuing. And I'm a new person. Until now, I was not a Jew. I was a B'nai Noach. I was serving God in the context of the mitzvahs that Noach was given. There was a Kedusha to that. There was a level of Kedusha. But you could not compare what now I've entered. I've entered a bris with Hashem. I'm a totally different person. There were four levels of world. There was Domem, Someach, Chai, and Medaber, and now there's a Yehudi. A fifth level. There's a Jewish soul that's now entered my spirit. I'm a new person, I have Ruach HaKodesh. Not just me, I'm looking around and I see everyone here is having Ruach HaKodesh. We're all feeling close to HaKodesh Baruch Hu, a revelation of Hashem with a closeness. This is something that is going to change history for the rest of the time. At the same time, I feel a little bit scared. I'm not sure I can handle it again. The level of Kedush that I just felt, like an electric voltage that went through me, gave me a sense of the godliness of HaKodesh Baruch Hu, but I'm hesitant to go through that experience again. It was a bit too much for me. I'm happy that I did it once, but I'm scared to do it again. And I say to you, Moshe Rabbeinu, please, you be my shaliach. You speak to me. I'm scared I'll die. I'm scared I'm not on the level of connecting back on this Baruch Hu to the deep level. And Moshe Rabbeinu, I see the disappointment in his face. Moshe says, why? Hear the word of Hashem. You don't need to go between. Listen to the word of Hashem directly. But me and my friends, we're a little bit too scared. We're pacing backwards at the thought of Hashem revealing Himself to us again so directly. And Moshe Rabbeinu realizes that at the same time as we love Hashem, but at the same time we're also a little bit scared, and the fear is a bit overwhelming. And Moshe is a little disappointed, but he says, okay, I'll be your go-between. And the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't overtake the fear that I have. And therefore, with the disappointment of Moshe, nevertheless, we move forward. That's a little bit of an example. And the more midrashim that a person reads, and the more visualization that a person has is where he was standing, where his friends were standing, and instead of reading the midrashim as an external story, he reads them as a way to do almost like a meditation on it, almost a visualization of it, to make it to be charut al libo, etched into your heart, this vision, this image. If you do that, then Mamad HaSinah will become for you something which is there with you the whole time. It's with you throughout your life. If you're ever debating about doing a mitzvah, you'll have the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you directly and saying to you, but Tzvikele, please, I've asked you to do this, Nesa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you asked me directly. You know what it's like? If someone will ask me, I don't respect them so much to do them a favor, I'll say, no, it doesn't suit me so much, I prefer not. But if suddenly they'll call the Rosh Hashiva to come, and they'll call the greatest Rav in all of our times, they'll give me a personal phone call, and I'll say, yes, Reb Chaim, how can I help you? And he'll say, I need you to do, put on tefillin this morning. I'm like, okay, sure, whatever you need. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you directly. Am I going to say no? If you have the image of Hashem speaking to you directly, how are you going to say no to that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to you. Yitgaber koach emunah.
That's how you strengthen your emunah. It's Hashem. Hashem speaking to you directly. Rav Shimshon Dov Pinkus was Erev Shavuos. He was preparing for Shavuos. He went to a quiet place. He was by himself totally. Made sure that nobody else could disturb him. And he closed his eyes. And he said the pasuk, "Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai." And as he said it, he started to bring to mind the imagery of what Madam Estia was like. It wasn't his first time doing it. He'd done it many, many times. But he said it again. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. And each time he was saying Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, he brought more and more himself in the image that we're describing now. Where he was standing, where everyone else was standing. And as he was saying it, he envisioned, and he almost heard, the voice of the Kodesh Baruch Hu coming down. And he envisioned the emotion of cleavage, longing, desire that he had for Hashem, together with the fear of it being overwhelmed. And he said that when he did it for over a half an hour, just by Yered Hashem and Har Sinai, each time saying it, deepening his vision, and it's closest to Hashem. But he said that he felt that he couldn't move. He felt like he was just there. He felt like he didn't want to leave. he was at Muhammad Asa, he didn't want to leave. He was almost paralyzed, not wanting to go away. He was being there. But Shavuos was coming, so he had to break himself out of it. And when he heard the Kriyat Torah the next day, which speaks about Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, he said it immediately brought him back to that place that he created in his inner world of Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai. And it said that as he was hearing the Torah, the reading of the Torah, he felt this desire of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which he'd never felt before. He heard the Torah many times, but he hadn't done that visualization of, actually, I was there, and what would I feel if I was there? And I actually was there. My neshama was there. So it's not actually trying to imagine something new, it's just reminding myself of what deeply my neshama already experienced. And he said that as he heard the words of the Torah the next day, he felt that that's where he was. And he felt a tremendous closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's it. There would not be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which we can develop through the imagery. Yitgaber koach emunato. Gam yimtza besichlo tamid, mahalech eitan, levases emunato, v'yedah ma la'ashir apikoros. You'll have the answer to apikorosim, because you'll have... I'll just tell you a story. I may have told the story before, but it's worth sharing now in this context. I have a cousin who was in the army. My cousin's husband. And he didn't go to yeshiva. He went to a religious high school and then straight to the army. And when he was in the army, he had a religious breakdown. He's very noble. He's like very ethical, very moral, very erlich. Today he's a lawyer and he plays a violin and a quartet. Like a very erlich individual. And when he was in the army, he had this like religious crisis. Who is he and what's right and what's the right way? And amazingly, he phoned his Rebbe from 10th or 11th grade, which is an amazing credit to that Rebbe. I mean, it wasn't his Rebbe of his last year, it was a Rebbe a year or two before that, but he felt that that's someone who, at a time of need, he was able to reach out to. What a credit, you know, that the Rebbe had left with him the phone number and the openness. If you ever have a time, you need to call. And I'm just saying now to anyone here and anyone who's ever listening that I would like to be that person. Anyone has any time ever in the future, anyone feels they need to reach out, I would always be happy to take a call like that. So he called his Rebbe, and he said to his Rebbe, like, I don't know to be religious, not to be religious. In the army, it's difficult being religious, and I see all the numbers of people, and then, you know, what's wrong with that way of life? And he wasn't sure. And his Rebbe was in a family function. But when he heard the question, he said, wait, I'm going out. I'm going to talk to you. And he spoke on the phone for a long time with him. And they spoke many things, but one thing that he said that was the crucial point, he said like this. He said, you know, the way that a person's mind works is that you decide on a way, and then you go looking for evidence to make sure that way is correct. And I can tell you right now that if you would decide to be religious, you would find a lot of proof and evidence that that's correct. Because it will support the way that you want. And if you would decide to not be religious, I'm sure you will find lots of reasons to justify and support that view as well. Because you choose a particular way, that's what you'll find is a proof to. But there's a point right now that you're at of Bechira Chofshi.
which is choosing Hashem. And if you make Hashem now, what you believe is true, what you know is right, the path that you wish to take, then you will look for evidence and you will be able to find it. And you will be able to find it. But if you decide now that there's no Hashem and there's no point and I want to have another lifestyle, then even if you go and look, you won't find it. You just won't find it. You'll look at the same evidence, the same proof, and you won't see it there. So really the choice, I'm saying to you, the rabbi said to you, I'm saying to you, you must research the topic. You've never researched it. You've never learned emunah, like we learn in yeshiva. You've never learned it. It's a topic you have to learn. You've never learned it. So I'm saying to you, go and learn it. But I'm also saying to you, before you go and learn it, now decide what you want. Because whatever you decide at this moment, that's what you will eventually prove to yourself. Decide what deeply it is that you want. And my wife's cousin, he said, I want to do this. And then he went and he learned and he read and he read and he learned and he learned it. And today he's a religious Jew. Shomer Shabbos. He never went to yeshiva. But deeply rooted in tradition. It's an amazing concept. The way that you wish to go, that's what will happen. What's that initial cause? What's that default way of thinking? Your imagery. Your emun. After you have that, everything else will fit in. Everything else will be well-based. If you have a vision of Mamad Har Sinai, because you've chosen to recognize that, when you have doubts and debate, you say, what do you mean I was there? I was there. What do you mean? Someone could say, and maybe you just made that up. That's the point of the Bechir Chosh. Whatever point you wish, and that's why you could never really, really argue with someone who's already made up their mind. Because anything you say, they'll say, yeah, but maybe not. I mean, you could say the most obvious, logical, proven thing, and they'll find some dachuk, far-fetched, krum svara to justify their continuing to live a hedonistic lifestyle. Because that's what they've decided already. There's no one to talk to. There's a point of bechira. And what strengthens you at those times where you have debates and safekos is having built this world of emunah. This world of I was there. And I know because I've experienced it. To develop through the imagery. V'hineh, Zivrei Yameinu, Heinam Meleyem V'kudushim V'tzirei Yofi V'gadlut V'emet La'afli. You don't need to only look in Tanakh. You can just look in our times. And you can see how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing the Jewish people back to the land of Israel. And you can just look in our times and you can see how the land of Israel has received us. And it's flourishing in an agricultural level and an economic level. And you see how nations of all over the world throughout history have tried to destroy us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has kept the Jewish spirit alive and flourishing, thriving, alive. You can look at America. 100 years ago, and Torah was dead, dead, nothing left. Anyone who came there within a generation, there was no one left. And then suddenly, from nowhere, yeshivas were built, Torah communities were built, and even the people whose grandparents were not religious, the parents became more religious, and the children of B'nai Torah. Where did it come from? How did it happen? What was the renewal? Because Baruch Hu placed with Aaron Kotler at the right place at the right time, and Moshe Feinstein at the right place at the right time. There was a total renewal. You don't need to look only in Tanakh. You can look in our times and see the revolution of Torah that's taking place. The Yad Hashem, the desire that Hashem has for us to return. The willingness that Hashem has to reconnect to us. And you have live imagery in your mind without having to go too far back and make up things. You can just see them here, your own eyes. You know, you can walk outside of your door in Kerem Biyam, and you can see a fruit tree, or you can come to my house, and you can see a fruit tree. And the Navi says, how do you know that there is a sure sign that the Geula will come? It says, when the fruits will grow on the trees in the land of Israel, that is a sign that the Geula is coming. And you can walk past and say, oh, there's a nice tree, and totally miss it, with eyes that are not emunah-oriented eyes. Totally miss it. You could say, oh, that's delicious, I'll have that for supper. And make it a physical. Or you could look at the world through the eyes of Yechezkel and Avi. And you could say, the Pasuk said, how will we know when the Geula is coming? V'atem anfei Yisrael, v'lichem titnu, anfeichem tisu, la'ami Yisrael dikorovim lavo. You, the fruits of the land, produce trees of the land, produce fruits, because my nation are returning. That was a word of the Navi. which for 2,000 years was a dream for the future. When I see that, I know the Mashiach on his way. And we, with our emunah eyes, don't have to make up for it. We have imageries right in our garden. You just open your door and you can see mangoes and lemons and clementinot, and hopefully if it grows well, etrogim. You can see the Yad Hashem. You don't have to make it up, emunah. This is the emunah that Navi 2,000 years ago said this is going to happen. This is going to be a sign the Mashiach is arriving. First, agriculture, and then kibbutz galios, and then the Mashiach will eventually arrive. And you can see with your own eyes. So we don't need to go far. We can see it right now in our times. And if someone is always conjugating these images in his mind, he is always in the context of Hashem. He's with Shimon HaTzadik. He's with Hillel HaZaken. He's with Rebbe Akiva. He's with Rebbeinu HaKadosh Abaye and Rava. All his life, he's connected to his Gedolim. Throughout all the eras, he's living with them. And he's seeing Yemosa Mashiach already. He's already connected to that idea, because you can go future, look. You don't have to only go past. And you're living in the world of Yad Hashem already existing in this world. That is the world of Emunah. That's the derech of how to build Emunah. Once you choose Hashem, then you have a path to strengthen it and reconnect it to it.